Good morning, welcome to today's daf is daf kaf chet, daf 28. We left off on kaf zayin amud bet, 27b on the middle of the page. Vizokakim et anechasim, we said we can cause them to swear in the Mishnah. Now the Gemara says, Amar ula, minayin lagilgul shevua min haTorah. From where do we know that you can extend the swear from the Torah? You can go back and extend the swear. So the Gemara says, and we're going to spend a good amount of time, maybe half the daf is on this question. By the Sotah woman, we say, the woman has to say, Amen, Amen. And the Mishnah in Masachet Sotah says, Utnan, al mahi omeret Amen, Amen. Why is she saying Amen, Amen? Amen al ha'ala, Amen al ha'shevua. Amen is for the curse, and Amen is for the swear. Amen imeish ze, Amen imeish acher. She says, Amen, if it was from this man, Amen, if it was from another man. Meaning she's being told that, she's being warned and accused of going in seclusion. The witnesses come and say, you went in seclusion with this man. So she's answering, Amen, swearing to as not cheating. Amen, shalos satiti arusam nesua, v'shomer tava muchnusa. She says, Amen, that I didn't stray while I was engaged, while I was married, while I was waiting for my brother-in-law to marry me after my husband died, or uchnusa, while she was taken for her brother-in-law as marriage. Hay arusa hechidame. When it says engaged, what is it referring to? In lema dekane lakshihi arusa, v'kamashki lakshi arusa. If he warned her while she was engaged, and he caused her to drink while she was engaged, hold on, v'hatanan. We have a Mishnah, arusa v'shomeret yavam, lo shotot, v'lo natalot ketubah. An arusa and a woman who is waiting for the brother-in-law to marry her, neither of them drink the waters, nor do they receive their ketubah. So why are you saying that it can be possible that she can drink as an arusa? So the Gemara says, mai ta'ama, what's the reason? Tachat ishech, it says, under your husband, amar rachmana v'leika, and she doesn't have a husband yet because she's only engaged. Ela, it must be dekani lakshi arusa, v'nisterakshi arusa, v'kamashki lakshi nesua. He warned her while they were engaged. She went in seclusion while they were engaged. And he's causing her to drink only now after that they're married. Because he has to be her husband. So the Gemara says, mi bat kalamaya? Does the water check her in such an instance? The Pasuk says, v'nika ha'ish me'avon. The man has to be clean from any sin for the water to check his wife. Meaning, amar achmana, bizman shebet ha'ish menuke me'avon, mayim bodkin et ishto. When the man is clean from sins, the water would check his wife. But, ein ha'ish menuke me'avon, if the man is not clean from sins, ein ha'mayim bodkin et ishto, the water would not check his wife. So, clearly, what's happening here, after she did stira, he still continued and married her. And he cohabited with her. So therefore, that's a sin. And so therefore, since he's not allowed to be with her after she goes into seclusion with another man, and he warned her, right? So therefore, they weren't allowed to get married and cohabit with one another. So therefore, the water wouldn't even check his wife in this instance. So what are we going to say? Ela, it must be al yedei gilgul. It must be an extension of the swear. Meaning, he warned her while they were married. She went in seclusion. And he is able to extend this swear to go all the way back from engagement, even though they weren't fit for the swear during engagement, but he's allowed to extend it all the way back. But that's Ashkechan Sotah de Isura. That's Sotah of a prohibition. But Mamona Minalan. How do we know you can do this in the case of Mamon, in the case of monetary law? Sotanet by Rabbi Shmuel. We learned by Rabbi Shmuel. Kal v'chomer, it says it's a kal v'chomer. Uma Sotah, shenon nitna li taba' be'edechad, a Sotah woman, it cannot be claimed against her. The swear cannot be, she cannot be claimed to swear with only one witness. You need to have two witnesses, right? We learn this in Masechet Sotah. But still, migalgilin, we say that we extend the swear. So, mamon, shenitan li taba be'edechad, by monetary law, that you are able to cause them to swear with only one witness, right? If he says, he claims that someone owes him a maneh, and the guy says, no, I don't owe you anything. And one witness comes and says, yes, you owe him one, you owe him a maneh. So therefore, you can cause him to swear. En odin shemigalgalin, is it not all the more so that we can extend the swear? And we can do it as an extension? So the Gemara says, that makes sense, ashkechan bevadai. That makes sense in a case where he says, barili, I know for sure this person owes money. Right? Rashi says, ta'anat bari b'davar she'in chayvin alav shavua. For sure I know this is true. Or in a case where he doesn't admit partially. That, in that case, obviously, we can extend the swear. But safek minalan, how do we know in a case of doubt that maybe, perhaps, right? Rashi says, ta'anat shema. You have two partners that they split, and how do we know even in those cases that you can cause them to swear? So the Gemara says, Tanya, as a bride says, Rashbi Omer, Ne'emra shevua b'chutz, ne'emra shevua b'ifnim. It says that you make a shevua even outside of Beit HaMikdash, outside of the courtyard, and a shevua inside. Where would you make a shevua inside? By the case of Sota, that would make her swear in the Azara, in the courtyard. Ma shevua ha'amura b'ifnim, asa b'safek kevadai. Just like the swear, when it comes to inside, in the Azara, by the Sota woman, we made a safek Sota, like a vadai Sota, that we make her swear. Af shevua ha'amura b'chutz, asa b'safek kevadai. So to a swear, outside of the courtyard, mamon, we would make them swear, just like a vadai, we would view it the same case as a safek. We review the safek the same case as a vaday. So the Gemara now asks, "Ad hechan gilgul shevua? How far? What extent do we say this extension goes?" So Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, "Da Amar le Shavali Shein Avdiata." He says to the person, "Swear to me that you're not my slave." Hold on, you can call somebody. You can call somebody your slave. Ahu shamut mishamtin alei. Someone just calls someone their slave. We put him in excommunication. The Tanya, the Baraita says, "Hakore lechavero eved yemeni doy." Someone calls his friend a slave, he should be put excommunication. Mamzer, you call him a mamzer. Sofeket arba'im, you get 40 lashes. Makat mardut, and the rasha, if you call your friend a rasha, you're ready mele chayav. He can come down into your business, and he can try to take away your business from you, and he can try to do the same business as you. So how are you allowed to just call him a slave? Ela amarava, must be hishavali shelonim kantali beeved ivri. No, swear to me that you weren't sold to me as an Eved Ivri. Oh, that's when it says, "Hai ta'anta me'al yatehi." That's a perfectly fine claim. So why would we think even for a second that you wouldn't be able to, that you wouldn't be able to extend the swear in that case? Obviously you can extend the swear all the way back. What's the chidush over there? That's a very clear claim. Mamuna'id le'gabeh. He has money by you, meaning he owes you. If let's say he either is still a slave to you, or you know he's some time is left for that slavery, so there's some value that's still owed to you. So the Gemara says, Rava le'tame. Rava goes according to his reasoning. Da'amar Rava, Eved Ivri gufo kanoi. And Eved Ivri, his body is acquired to the person. If his body is acquired to the person, if the body is acquired to the person, then what happens? What happens if the person's body is acquired to the person? He's not a metaltelin anymore. He becomes the actual karka, right? So since it's not ta'anat metaltelin, therefore it's a chidush now, because it's no longer movable property. It's considered actual physical property. So the Gemara says, yachi hainu karka. That's the same thing as karka, as actual land. What's the difference? So ma'udatima, I would have thought to say, karka hu da'avida ina shayda mezabne bitzin'a. People would buy property. You buy a land. A lot of times you do it in private. Nobody knows about it. So im ita dazabin late lekala, if someone were to purchase a property in private, it wouldn't be so much talk about it because he does it quietly. Ah, hi. But in this case, by a slave, im ita dazabin, a person purchases a slave, kala itle, everyone will hear about it. So if everyone hears about it, maybe we would say, no, we would not have this gilgul shivwa that you'd allow to extend the slave back, extend the swear all the way to previous time period. Kamashmala, and that's why the Gemara comes to Jesus. No, even in that case, you're able to do Gilgul Shivah, you can extend this the swear, even in such a case. Okay, new Mishnah. Kol ha'na'ase b'damim be'acher, kivan shezacha zen, itchayev zeh v'chalifav. This is referring to Khalifin. So the Gemara is saying that once this person, if a person, let's say, comes, and he does something, he wants to make a transfer, or an exchange, right? And he does it with, let's say, money. Does it with a matbea, for something else. Once the seller takes control of the money that's given, the buyer now is responsible for the khalifah, with the exchange that was given to him. So the Gemara says ketzad. The Mishnah says ketzad. How is this so? The following. Hechelif shor v'para. If someone exchanged an ox for a bull, or chamor b'shor, or a donkey for an ox, once the seller takes his part, his piece, the buyer now becomes responsible for his side. Meaning, if it gets lost, if anything happens to that animal, now it's his responsibility, the buyer's responsibility. This is exchange. So the Gemara says, Khalifin mainyu. What were we referring to when we said Khalifin, this exchange? So Khalifin can be one of two things. Khalifin can be an uneven exchange, where it's not even, like a handkerchief, like we said, Kinyan Sudar, where you use that effect Khalifin, effect an exchange. Or it can be an even exchange, something that has the same value as the item that you're exchanging, and you exchange that with that. So the Gemara says, matbea, it's referring to a coin. So the Gemara says, shma mina matbea naaseh khalifin. It sounds like, from here we learn, that with a coin, you can affect khalifin, this exchange. But hold on a second. The Rashi says in Baba Metziah, we have a Mefurash Gemara on Perak HaZahav that says, the Ein Matbea Naseh Chalifin. A coin cannot affect Chalifin. Over here we're saying it can. So the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda, Achi Kamar. No, this is what he meant to say. Kol HaNishom Damim Be'acher. Anything that is supposed to be evaluated to get the value of what it is, meaning not a coin. A coin has value. You know what the value of a coin is. Anything that's an object, anything besides for a coin, Kivan Shezachazen Itchayev Be'chalifin. Once the seller takes his part, the buyer now becomes responsible for his side. That's what it meant. Anything besides for a coin. So the question says, Daikanami. Daikanami, sorry?
Why is it a problem that it has a value? That you know how much it's worth?
No, he's saying you can't use a coin because in Bava Metzia it says a coin is not effective for Khalifin. So over here you can't say it's talking about a coin, but our Mishnah said it's talking about a coin. Okay, so the Gemara then says, Daikanami, we learn this as well. The Katana is a bright that says, Ketzad. How is this? The Mishnah said, Ketzad. Hechelif shor bepara. O chamor b'shor. If he swapped out, he exchanged a ox for a bull or a donkey for an ox, what does that sound like? Does that sound like money? That's not money. So shma mina, you cannot use a coin to affect chalifin. That's what it's saying. So the Gemara says, ulmay de salika datin meikara de matbea nase chalifin. For what we thought originally that a coin can affect chalifin, can affect this exchange. So how do you explain that? Ketzad. So the Gemara says, my ketzad. How would you explain the word ketzad? So, achi kamar, this is what he meant to say. Perot nami avde chalifin. Perot, what's perot? Perot, we know it as fruits, but it's talking about produce, meaning anything that's not a kali, it can also affect chalifin. How? Ketzad. Hechelif besar shor bepara. If you exchange the meat, the flesh of an ox, for that of which of a bull, or besar chamor beshor, or the flesh, the meat of a donkey, for that of which of a bull, of an ox, when the seller takes his part, the buyer now becomes responsible for his side, the exchange that's going to him. So therefore he's trying to say, this is how we would respond to what we would have thought in the beginning of our Mishnah, that it's referring to the flesh, the meat of the animal, not the money. So the Gemara says, hold on a second. That makes sense according to Rav Sheshet, the Amar Perot Avde Chalifin, that he says that produce, non-kelim, can affect Chalifin, can affect the exchange. And the Rav Nachman, according to Rav Nachman, the Amar Perot Lo Avde Chalifin, he says that fruits, the produce cannot affect Chalifin. What are you going to say then? So Hachik Amar, this is what he would say. Yesh damim shehen ke Chalifin. There is money that is like Chalifin, that is like an exchange. How? Ketzad. Hechelif deme shor bepara o deme chamor beshor. If you exchange the value, the money worth of an ox with a bull, or the money value of a donkey with an ox, that would go into effect. That exchange would work. What is it referring to? So Rashi explains. Look at Rashi. Machar lo shor b'mane mushacho. You sell an ox for a mane, and the guy took it. Minichayev zelo zeh hamane, and he owes you a mane, but he didn't pay you yet. Amar lo amocher. The seller told him, yeshacha para li ten bedamim. Maybe if you have an animal, you can give me a bull. Give me a bull, and I'll exchange it for the money that you owe me. Amar lehen, yes, I do. So Shema lo b'mane, he says it's worth a mane, o b'pras. Amar lo mocher ashor, hare ha-ma'ot, ma'ot sh'ata chayav li, netonim lecha b'dameh. He says the money that you owe me will be exchanged, the value that you owe me will be exchanged with this animal that you're giving me. That's what the Gemara is talking about. So when it comes to, let's say, this exchange of a loan that was given in a sense, it works, that effect, that exchange works. But when we said in the Mishnah that money, actual coin, would not work for exchange, we said it doesn't work. So hold on, now the Gemara is going to ask, hold on, we're saying now that money, when it comes to an exchange of a loan, let's say for example, he gave you an animal, and he says, you owe me this money. He says, okay, if you give me back a bull, and it's worth the same amount, I'll exchange back what you owe me, and you give me that animal in exchange. So that works. But when we said the case of money itself, we said an exchange being effective, a chalifin being effective through coin, would not work. So why? What's the difference? So the Gemara says, my ta'ama. So what's the reason? Savar like Rabbi Yochanan, he holds like Rabbi Yochanan over here, the Amar Devar Torah Ma'ot Konot. According to the Torah, money acquires, according to the Torah. Uma ta'am amru mishicha kona. Why did they say that you're still required to do mishicha, you have to pull it towards you? Gezera shema yomar lo nisirfu chitecha ba'aliyah. Because maybe the seller is going to tell him, hey, you gave me the money already. Now he's going to say, all of your wheat that you bought in the attic, it all burned. Sorry, nothing for you. Oh, so what do we say, midrabanan? The Chachamim said, we have to wait for him to pull it to himself, for him to be in his property. Only then does the full sale take effect, so that this would not happen. So the Gemara says, "Milta de shechiach gazura barabanan." Milta de lo shechiach lo gazer barabanan. The case that is more common, the Chachamim made a gezera on it. And so in this case, that is not common, the case of a loan or a debt that's owed by the case of the animal, right? The animal, he gave him an animal, he didn't pay him back, so he says, give me your and a different animal and it will be in exchange for the money that you owe me. That debt that's owed, that's not a common case. And so therefore the Chachamim did not make a gezera on that case. The guy's going to say, oh no, your animal died. I can't do anything. I can't pay you or whatever. No, he's not going to make up such an excuse so that because it's not a common case, so therefore they didn't make a gezera on this case. But in the other cases of monetary law, they did make a gezera, and therefore that's why they said, midoraita really ma'ut konot, but midorabanan, they required you to do meshicha. So the Gemara says, ulereish lakish, according to Reish Lakish, da'amar meshicha meforeshet min ha-Torah, he says meshicha is explicit in the Torah. He says, hanicha isavar like a Rav Sheshet. It makes sense if he holds like a Rav Sheshet, da'amar perot avde chalifin, that Rav Sheshet says that the produce does, it affects chalifin, it affects this exchange. Miteretz k'Rav Sheshet. He just explains his opinion like Rav Sheshet. Ela isavar like Rav Nachman, but if he holds like Rav Nachman, da'amar perot lo avde chalifin, that Rav Nachman is of the opinion that produce does not affect chalifin, does not affect the exchange. Umatbea lo kaneh, and he holds that a coin does not acquire either. Hold on. Then what is the established the case talking about? You can't do it with an exchange. You can't do it with a... He holds a Rav Nachman, so produce doesn't work. Money doesn't work. So what works? So how would you explain it according to Reish Lakish? So the Gemara says, Al korchach k'Rav Sheshet Tzirele. It must be against your will that he holds a Rav Sheshet, and therefore he holds that produce would, not kelim, would affect chalifin. And that's how it would make such an exchange. So look at Rashi. So long Rashi, we look at just the beginning. The Reish Lakish mideoraita, the name Ayesh Damim Shem Kechalifin, he says that there is money like Khalifin, the Okma, the Orita, the Milta, the Shachiach, the Okma, Rav Nachman. He says, Hechi mitarets la klematnitin. How does he explain the Mishnah? Ben le salika da'ati mekara, ben le ma'ina okina. Whether you go based on what we thought or what we established. So Yesh, and then Yesh Mishanin. So he says, he goes on and explains that some change the girsah and say a little bit differently. But just continuing, Yesh Mishanin Sugiyah Zosh Shemua Zo B'Shita Acheret V'Ami Plukdad Aron Chomayim Sheshet B'Pere Davka V'Lo B'Sharmi Tatalin U'Balchin Shita Tashugiyah Batar Ma'id V'Saliga Datam Yikara V'Den Ma'id Okim Na'ok. Okay, continue V'Lav Miltehi. Okay, and he explains that that's not you don't have to worry about their girsa. But this is what he's trying to say. He says, according to Reish Lakish, that he says that Mishicha is explicit in the Torah. If you were to say he doesn't hold like Rav Sheshet, but then therefore he would hold like Rav Nachman, who says that produce wouldn't affect exchange. And therefore, he also holds that a matbea, the coin, like our Mishnah said, would not, or like we explained in the Gemara, would not affect the exchange either, would not acquire. Therefore, you don't have the coin, you don't have a perot to be affecting Khalifin. Then what do you have? So therefore, we explain that it must be that against our will, we have to explain that he holds a Rav Sheshet, and therefore he holds that perot, produce does affect Khalifin. Okay, we'll stop there for today. A quick 1 minute recap. We started Amud Bet by talking about, first topic was Gilgul Shavua min the Torah. Where do we know Gilgul Shavua, that you extend the Shavua from the Torah? Part number two on Amud Aleph was how far to the extent. We said even until he says that you swear to me that you didn't get sold to me as a slave. Part number three was a new Mishnah topic of Khalifin. And we first thought that maybe you can use a coin to affect Khalifin. And then we explained in the Gemara that no, you can't. And then the Gemara brought the part number four on Amud Bet, was we said that really, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Dvar Torah, according to Torah, Ma'ot Konot, money acquires. Why do we say you need to do Meshicha? You need to pull it to yourself? Because of a certain example that is very common, that let's say, for example, he would sell to him, he says, okay, I'll sell you all the wheat in my attic, and then he pays him, and he says, no, all the wheat burnt. So therefore, in that case, we would say that you have to do Meshicha for the sale to be fully effective, so that you wouldn't have such a way to say such a thing, and say that is wheat burnt. That's only in cases that are common, but in cases that are not common, like a debt of the animal, like we explained, we would not make such a gezerah, and therefore, ma'ot konon midavaraita. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen ve'amen.